This is the Dinner Party Download from APM. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's learn some etiquette.
Yes, each week you send in your questions about how to behave, and here to answer them this week is RuPaul. Not sure he needs an introduction, but suffice to say he's probably the best-known drag queen in the world, and possibly...
best-known drag queen in the world? I am the most famous drag queen in the history of the world.
We were just about to say that.
Okay, no, go get it twisted.
Possibly of all time.
Possibly of all time?
There's more. You've done more than just be the greatest drag queen of all time.
Possibly. I don't understand you people.
All right, I'm going to finish up this lead. Yeah. You've released a slew of hit records. Is that true?
Yeah.
Duetted with Elton John.
Yeah.
And last year you won an Emmy for hosting a competition show, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Uh-huh.
You're much easier on Brendan.
The ninth season of that show debuts March. Well, because I didn't say that he was probably.
Probably.
I didn't use the
word probably.
Possibly. Ninth season of that show debuts March 24th on VH1. RuPaul, it's an honor to have you here.
Oh,
I know you're the best known drag queen of all time.
Don't make me the enemy.
You are the enemy, I'm afraid.
I'm down with RuPaul as well. Let's ask you this. If you asked, I think, the average person in the world to name one drag queen, they would name you, maybe the late Divine, and they might be unable to name anyone else. What do you think made you, above all other drag queens, a household name?
Probably my breath.
which is marvelous, by the way, Radio Land.
It's a delight.
Now, you know, I don't know if they'd be able to name Divine. Most people are really dumb. And I'm going to speak frankly. Most people don't remember anything. Mm. And I DJed at a party last night for Planned Parenthood, a benefit. And I really thought people my age, I'm 56, I thought people my age would come out. It was from 7 till 11.
Mm-hmm. Not a late night.
Yes. And I brought a playlist that was really suited for them. Well, the people who came were all children who watch our show, children who could get into a nightclub.
The young people really like you.
They like
this show.
But they don't know who Divine is. They don't know. And that's one of the reasons our show, RuPaul's Drag Race, is so important, is because we end up teaching them about Divine. I think one of the seasons we had a Divine Challenge where the kids dressed up as Divine. Mm-hmm. In my day, we had mentors.
And who was your mentor?
I had several. When I found my tribe, I had gay mentors who were like 12 years older than me, who taught me about Fellini and Tallulah Bankhead and Truman Capote and all of the important things.
Sort of all the cultural touch points that sort of undergird that movement.
Exactly. But after the plague of the 80s,
AIDS,
those people moved away and the young people didn't have mentors. So what's happened is our show has taken up the slack and really taught a generation of kids about Grey Gardens, the documentary, and lots of things that they should know about.
What do you think is hardest, actually, that you end up teaching them? What's the hardest thing about drag that maybe the casual viewer or the amateur performer doesn't realize?
Well, what they really don't realize is that the big message with drag is not about being a woman. It's a commentary and an act of social treason, really, to say you are not the body you think you are. You're not what it says you are on your driver's license. You are an extension of the power that created the whole universe. Hmm. We're not separate from one another. We're one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that one thing we are is, for lack of a better word, I'm not religious. For lack of a better word, we like to use the word God. That's what we are. We're God playing dress up. That's what drag is about. We're mocking the ego. We are mocking identity, the concept of an identity. I'm a Catholic, white, from DeVore, New Jersey, whatever. You know, all those things. Throughout the ages, drag has been that with shamans or witch doctors or court jesters who remind you that you are more than what you think you are. You are an extension of the power that created the whole universe. Don't forget it.
I feel empowered right now.
You are. You should. Good. My work is done here.
Well, not yet, because actually we told our listeners that you were coming and they submitted etiquette questions for you.
You ready for these, Ru?
Yeah.
All right. This first one comes from David in New Orleans, Nolens. David writes, what's the protocol for addressing someone by their drag name as opposed to their name at birth?
It's not important. Nothing's really important. You know, when you are a sweet, sensitive soul on this planet, what happens is there are these stages of realization. The first stage of realization is that you've been lied to, that this whole world is really a hoax. So initially you get angry. And then you become bitter and you become cynical. And then the next stage beyond that is where you don't take anything all that seriously. You can laugh about it. Mm. So once, a lot of people get stuck in the cynicism and the bitterness, but if you're really an ascended human, you go on to the laughter and not taking everything too seriously. So
I'm glad to know that's next for me.
Exactly. Yeah. So in the laughter phase of this, all the pronouns and all that stuff is like, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's not important.
You don't mind if they use your drag name or your name at birth.
It doesn't matter.
David, I think give your answer.
Here's something from Rachel in San Francisco, California. Rachel writes, say you're hosting a dinner for a few friends. You send out an email to guests the day before with a menu that consists of, say, Greek chicken, rice pilaf, a cucumber salad, and for dessert, peanut butter pie. Then you receive a response from one of the guests that says, just so you know, I don't like peanut butter. How do you respond to that?
I don't respond. You know, your little things that you have going on inside of you.
Your little peanut butter problem?
Yeah, that ain't none of my business. You don't have to eat the peanut butter pie. You could have a nice glass of ice water. How about that?
There's dumped on your head.
Yes. You would give them ice. That's nice of you. Yeah. I would just give them water.
Study people. People are very particular. You know, it was a generation of young people who grew up whose parents, you know, I guess they helicopter them. And everything is so particular and so, oh, but me. But what about me? Mm. What about my special needs?
Yeah.
Listen, that's up to you and your life coach or your therapist. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
You did this to us.
All right. This next question comes from Iris in Chicago. That's a great name. I've always loved the name Iris.
Iris, I do too.
So Iris writes, my brother came out of the closet last year and now has a boyfriend. My family is 100% accepting of his sexuality and happy to welcome anyone he cares for into the family, but they, his brother and his boyfriend, are very, very affectionate to the point that it makes everyone uncomfortable.
Ooh.
Now, we'd be uncomfortable if he were doing this with a woman, but we feel like we can't say anything without coming off as homophobic.
Mm.
Is there a way to ask them to tone it down without making him question our acceptance?
Oh, see, now this the problem with that question is that she is worried about what he might say afterwards, and that's in the future. If you have to stay in the now.
Mm.
If your focus is what might happen down the road, that's already a problem.
Mm-hmm.
What you just come out and you say, you know what? I don't want to see that. I don't care. Even if man and woman, I don't care.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all, please. I mean, I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to eat my peanut butter pie over here.
My delicious peanut butter pie.
Delicious, yeah. Followed by a glass of ice water.
Do you want some ice water on your lap?
Yes.
Because you guys are getting too close.
That is exactly. You know, in acting class, there's this thing where you're taught about a phone conversation. A phone conversation when there's another person in the room. Say you're sitting over there,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking to Rico on the phone.
Okay.
Everything I'm doing on the phone talking to Rico is actually for your benefit.
Mm-hmm.
They teach that in acting class. Mm-hmm. So when people are doing the public display of affection, it's not for them.
Oh.
It is actually for the other people in the room.
Whether they say so or not.
Whether they say so or not. So it's important for the other people to say, listen, I'm on to you. I got your number, hussy. I know what you're doing. And you know what?
Yeah.
Don't.
Iris, I think you have your answer.
Just
come out and say it.
Yeah. Do it. Stay in the now.
Justin writes, what are your thoughts on bachelorette party etiquette at drag shows/gay bars?
You better check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yes.
You know, this is an important thing. You know, people who live in the mainstream, in the status quo, think that everyone else is there to serve them. Okay, so I'm brown-skinned, gay man. You know, I do drag. Early on, I learned that I could do it well and make money. So people automatically ask me about beauty tips. And I get kids who write me and say, I wish you could do my makeup for my prom. Or I wish you could do my makeup for my wedding. I'm like, I'm not a makeup artist. I'm an entertainer, okay? And so, but the people don't know how to place me in their consciousness. They think, you must be here to make me look good. That's what gay guys are, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're an accessory for my straight life. Just because your limited view is that everyone's there to serve you and that you're the only person in the world,
yeah.
it doesn't work that way.
But on the one hand, a bachelorette party going to a gay bar, in a way, could expand their consciousness.
But if they're going as a group of girls, it's something, you know, traditionally, it's not always, but traditionally, they're going as a group of girls as a way, oh, let's go together. so that they don't really have to go outside of their wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. They're tourists. But it's not really saying, you are fierce and I'm going to respect you, for you queen, for who you are. Mm. It's like they're there now as a party clown.
Entertain us.
So how do you think they should express their appreciation in a more respectful way, do you think?
Oh, I can tell you in one word. Cash. Cash.
All that philosophy, and it boils
down to cash. And get the money up front, girls.
Do it. Here is something from Connie in San Francisco. Here is a beautiful and sort of heartbreaking question. My husband recently passed away, writes Connie. He was just getting interested in drag. When, if ever, is it appropriate to give his makeup and wigs away? We have some friends whose car got broken into and all their drag stuff was stolen. Is it weird for me to offer my husband's things to them? Will they feel compelled to accept it because I'm grieving? What is the etiquette here?
I'm sorry to hear that about her husband. You know, life is, nobody gives us instruction books with life and handling grief and all of that stuff. We have to, unfortunately, learn it on our own. And this is less to do with the clothes. It has more to do with holding on to the people that we love, and those people we love and we move on, they stay in our hearts. They're not in the things. So it doesn't matter what you do. You know, you could throw them away. You could throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Or offer it to these people. It sounds like
you could offer them up and say, hey, if you don't want these, you can throw them away.
Sure. Yeah, sure. We want to put this importance on things. Things are just things. The things that really matter, that stick, I'm going to get teary-eyed when I get choked up when I say this, is the love that we give and the love that we allow ourselves to receive. Those are the things that stick.
So things aren't important.
Nope.
Can I have your Emmy Award?
Sure.
RuPaul, thanks for telling our audience how to behave.
Yes. Yes.
RuPaul, new season of RuPaul's Drag Race premieres this weekend on VH1. 13 contestants will compete for the title of America's Next Drag Superstar and a cash prize of $100,000.
And we now know if it wins another Emmy, he won't care.
He can give that to us, too.
Yeah, we'll be the first Emmy-winning audio show. It'll be weird. Folks, if you want your etiquette question answered, please send them to us. Head to dinnerpartydownload.org and click contact.